Welcome to Encyclopedia Commanderica, the segment where we go to the Gatherer website and click random card over and over and over. And then we talk about how we would or would not use those cards in Commander.
Eventually, after the heat death of our solar system and the gravitational decay of our known universe, we will have talked about every single Magic the Gathering card in a Commander context.
Oi.
Governor.
But first, some news.
Well, I suppose we should say it's unusual that Sean is not here. I assume he is sleeping.
Hang on. I'm Nate Burgess.
I'm Phil DeLuca.
And we are Commanderin. All right.
We're all out of order here. But first, we have a watch list that was recorded earlier with friend of the show, Nick Jaragrulski, don't we?
Mm-hmm. While Sean is not with us on this episode, we do not want to deprive you of his dulcet British tones. Take it away, Sean.
But before that, we have a regular feature we like to call
the watch list.
Do-do-do.
Da-da-da, the watch list. Nate, what's the watch list?
The watch list is where we look at cards that we see played a lot and they're always trouble. And when they show up, you either gotta find a way to counter them or get rid of them, or you end up putting them in your deck.
You can't beat them, join them. Yes, so we try and cast a critical eye over these powerful cards. The key being that these cards turn up in your meta and warp the meta, so the game somehow becomes about cloning that card, stealing that card, dealing with that card. And this week we have a trio of cards, not just one, but all these things do very similar abilities. We have what I like to call the Sorin Markov cards. So that is Sorin Markov, the Planeswalker, Magister Sphinx, and Shiny Anew, Tree of Perdition. Nick,
yes.
Would you like to read Sorin Markov for all the listeners at home?
Sorin Markov, 3 and 3 black, Planeswalker, Sorin, 4 loyalty counters, +2, Sorin Markov deals 2 damage to target creature or player, and you gain 2 life. -3, the only important ability on the card, target opponent's life total becomes 10. -7, the only ability that no one has ever cast on this card, except probably Sean, you control target player during that player's next turn.
Nate, what does a Magister Sphinx do?
Magister Sphinx is 4 white, blue, black, artifact creature Sphinx, 5/5 flying. Hey, when it enters the battlefield, hey, that's a nice life total you got there. Be a shame if anything happened to it. Your life total's 10. You there, 10 life.
And Tree of Perdition is 3 and a black for a creature plant. It's a defender, which is a 0/13, and it has tap. Exchange target opponent's life total with Tree of Perdition's toughness.
From Gatherer, when the ability resolves, Tree of Perdition's toughness becomes the targeted opponent's former life total, and that player gains or loses an amount of life necessary, so that his or her life total equals Tree of Perdition's former toughness.
So how can we abuse this card?
So, to abuse the card, there are several cards in, I think mostly black and blue, that will reduce a creature's toughness. So, like, I think Quicken is one of the ways, where you make it the toughness of a creature 1 until end of turn.
So, sudden spoiling will do it.
Well, sudden spoiling, I think, also loses the abilities.
But you can put the ability on the stack and then cast the sudden
spoiling.
Doesn't split
second remove all abilities from the stack, though?
I thought split second says you can't put more abilities on the stack. Let's check it. Wow, we've gone rules-tastic today, haven't we? let's look at, I don't know, Crozan Grip. That's the best split second card, isn't it?
So another way I would abuse Magister Sphinx or Tree of Perdition is if you have some blink effects, like maybe a Conjurer's Closet, or maybe you're playing other colors than black where you can take a creature off the board and then it enters again. So Magister Sphinx, you just blink and for each player that is opposing you. And Tree of Perdition, you would need to add some kind of haste to your tree, but...
Yeah.
You could slap illusionist bracers on it.
Oh, yeah.
So, split second reads, as long as this spell is on the stack, players cannot cast spells or activate abilities that aren't mana abilities. So you can stack the Tree of Perdition, then cast Sudden Spoiling.
Okay.
Mm. So that will work. The Sorceress Queen, if you want a really classic black spell. Target creature, other than Sorceress Queen's, power and toughness becomes 0/2 until end of turn. But all these things, when they activate, one person has a really bad time, don't they?
Yeah.
You essentially, for 7 mana or less, deal, well, normally 30 damage-ish, often more. So why is this a good thing and why is this a bad thing? Let's say, what are the positives of having this ability in our format?
I mean, if the game is going long, it's a nice way to get it close to the end. At 10 life, you are probably going to lose regardless what happens next.
Yeah.
I mean, even if the person that you Sorin isn't going to kill you that turn, everyone else at the table is going to see you as a easy target to just pick off without trying too hard.
Yeah. And also, since Aloro is one of the most popular commander decks.
Second most soon.
Yeah. Life gain commanders can be a problem. And if you have an opponent who's at 100 and some life, and you don't have a commander that's suited to Voltron some commander damage in, there's got to be ways to take that down.
I would say to people, be very careful if you're running the Magister Sphinx.
Oh, yeah.
The reason it's the least powerful of these three cards is, first of all, it's harder to cast because it's an Esper rather than just mono black. But a creature like Magister Sphinx that hasn't entered the battlefield ability can be cloned, resurrected 100 times by an opponent.
Bribery.
Who... Yeah, and if you Magister Sphinx someone and they have the ability to bribery or clone your Sphinx, they will do it right back to you. Almost immediately. Just go right.
Yeah, acquire.
Yeah.
Have either of you ever seen Magister Sphinx used defensively to bring a life total back above 9?
Not only have I seen it, I have done it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I have done it to myself more than once. It feels kind of bad to do it, but if it's the best thing you've got to get a 5/5 flyer and gain like 3 or 4 life. I have once done it so I could go back up to 10 just so I could draw some cards because I had Necropotence out.
Oh.
And I couldn't draw anything. I was like, okay.
Yikes.
So why are these bad cards for our format?
That's my life total, man.
Yeah, I think people just think they're not very fun to play against, don't they?
There's nothing you can really do to defend yourself against it once it hits the field. It's an immediate effect.
Yeah, if you can make yourself hexproof, then they can't make you the target opponent, the target player. So if you have your Orbs of Warding out or something like that, then they gotta target somebody else.
I mean, I won't lie, I was surprised when I saw Tree of Perdition get... can't say the word. Tree of Perdition. Get a printing. I thought that was an ability they kind of left behind. I was happy because it's the sort of ability I like to run. But I think it's in that category with Mindslaver type abilities, which ironically Sorin can also do with his ultimate. Abilities your opponent just feels, it feels really unfair to have it done to you.
Mm.
Especially if it's early game. You go, oh, okay.
And plus the Magister is abusable with, you know, flickering effects. More abusable than the other two anyway.
Yes, I would 100% agree with that. The thing to remember about the Magister Sphinx is, I mean, I run it because it's in my colours, but the amount of times it hits me, it's like, okay, alright, fine. Normally, only drop it if you've got 10 lethal damage on the table at the same time, is my advice.
Mm-hmm.
And if your opponents run bribery and they learn that it's in your decks, they will always go and get it. And they'll always do it back to you.
Unless you're hexproof.
Unless you're hexproof. Which you can be in white. It is a possible thing. Imperial Mask, etc., etc. But if you're the sort of person who doesn't like being Magister Sphinxed, don't run Magister Sphinx. I think if you run it, you have to accept it's going to happen to you occasionally and take it with the good grace that... It's like, yeah, I was going to do it to you, so it's only fair you do it to me. Sorin's a bit meaner, because you can't really stop Sorin.
Sorin is the first Planeswalker I ever opened when I started playing Magic.
Ooh, mine was Ashiok. Mm. Is he whipping a pistol? I mean, I know he's not, but in that picture, in that eye, he always, to me, looks like he's like a gunslinger.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, like he's got his draw hand ready to go, and he's tightening up his sleeve, and he's going to draw.
Or he's making a pistol shape with his hand and pointing his finger out with his thumb up.
I'm a Wild West vampire. And that concludes Sean's Texan impression for tonight. Okay, so can you think of any ways to deal with these cards if they're in your meta and they're annoying you or upsetting people or are problematic?
You can have Hexproof, like Nate said. There's also Eternity Vessel. That's an artifact that anyone can play, which has landfall. Your life total becomes... I forgot. I have to look it up now.
Eternity Vessel.
Yeah. There's Platinum Empyrean. Your life total can't change.
Yep. That's a good one. One of my favorites, which is a very overlooked white card, is the Resolute Archangel, which is a 4-4 flying angel. When it enters the battlefield, your life total becomes your starting life total again, which is really nice.
So Eternity Vessel is a 6 mana artifact. Enters the battlefield with X charge counters, where X is your life total. And then landfall, when land enters, you can have your life total become the number of charge counters on Eternity Vessel. So you drop it before the Magister Sphinx hits you, and then you just play a land or crack a fetch land, and you go right back up to where you were before.
Wow, that is a powerful artifact. Why have I literally never seen that been played?
You've seen it before. You've played it against me in my Vorel deck. I was doubling the charge counters on Eternity Vessel.
Oh, I must have blanked it. Like a PTSD sufferer, I've blanked it from my memory and just have flashbacks from it in the middle of the night, wake up sweating. He won't die, mother. He won't die. Mother, figuratively. I don't live with my mother. Right. Anyway. So if these cards are in your group, and they will be, someone will always have a Sorin. That even though it's triple black, there will be someone will be tempted by it. It will be kicking around. Yeah, just, I don't know, punish them in the next game is normally what I do. It's like, hey, remember how you Sorin'd me last game? Die! That normally solves it a bit. Takes the edge off of it for yourself, makes yourself feel better.
Thanks, Sean and Nick.
Is this Sean saying that Sorin Markov is unfair to play?
I don't know. Hey, Phil, what's your take on those cards?
My take on those cards is not as important as my take on Sean's Texan impression.
Yeehaw! Boy, howdy.
And it's worth noting that Eternity Vessel makes Sean cry.
Hmm.
Especially if you double the counters on it.
Several times.
Mm-hmm.
There is one other card in this category that we forgot. Master of Cruelties.
Oh.
3 black red creature demon, 1/4. He's got First Strike and Death Touch. Those two together are pretty good.
Yep.
Master of Cruelties can only attack alone. But whenever Master of Cruelties attacks a player and isn't blocked, that player's life total becomes 1. Just set it to 1. 1 point of life.
Oh.
And then Master of Cruelties assigns no combat damage. So it replaces his combat damage with setting their life total to 1.
So instead of doing 1 point of damage, he sets your life to 1.
Yes.
That's cruel.
I got Dean with this the other day.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
And then what, you flicked him for a point?
I think somebody else did. But I'm pretty sure he was dead before his turn.
Oh,
and I did use a Tree of Perdition on Sean recently.
Did you?
Yeah. And then I took the 40 life, and when Hunter was about to kill Johnny Crass, who was at 6 life, I gave Johnny Crass the 40 life, took the 6, and then gave Hunter the 6 life on my turn. And then killed Hunter instead of Johnny.
Devious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. What shenanigans you're up to.
Yep. It's my Queen Marquesa. I've retuned her. She's less dirtle and more royalty tribal.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's got business to attend to, doesn't she?
Yep. You can do a pretty good Knight's Tribal deck with Mardu colors.
Oh. Did you finally do that? I guess you did.
Mm-hmm. Knights and advisors and clerics.
Some vampire knights in there?
And a demon and a tree. And a planeswalker Sorin.
All the bad stuff.
Not all the bad stuff, just some.
Well, that's excellent. It's time for our main topic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Encyclopedia.
Yes, indeed. I feel honored to be on an encyclopedia with you, Nate. Yeah. I don't often get to do these, and I listen to you guys doing them, and I'm like, wow, this is so much fun. So here we go, right?
Card one. Brain weevil.
Mm.
Three and a black. Creature insect. 1/1. For three and a black for a 1/1. This has got to be good.
It better be.
Intimidate. Can't be blocked except by artifact creatures and or creatures that share a color with it, which is currently black. You can also sacrifice Brain Weevil. And then target player discards two cards. You can only activate this anytime you could cast a sorcery.
That's not too bad.
I don't know. I'd pay 2 mana for this if I were making an insect tribal deck. Maybe Mazurek or something.
Yeah.
But I don't like paying 4 mana for a 1/1.
Well, Marin can strip somebody's hand, can't they?
Eventually, but there's other ways to do that in Marin's colors.
Mm-hmm. True. Is this your second or third or fourth hand stripper?
No.
No.
No. I don't like it.
Well, don't despair, Nate. Card number two, Circle of Despair. For one and a white and a black, you get an enchantment that reads, for one generic mana, sacrifice a creature, prevent all damage to any creature or player from any one source. Yeah, yeah. Not feeling it.
Maybe a little Tesa token heavy deck.
Yeah, lots of Thralls maybe as well.
Maybe Athreos, you're getting those creatures back.
Depending on the creature, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or Caridor.
True. So then in Athreos and Caridor, wouldn't Brain Weevil work reasonably well?
There's better ways to do it than it still Brain Weevil, though.
That's true. That's true. So we wouldn't play Circle of Despair, would we? I don't think I've ever seen this played.
It's an option. I probably wouldn't, but it's an option.
It's a decent sac outlet. And yeah, in something like Athreos, where you're looking for redundancy, and this is a fog effect, so sort of.
Yeah, if you like to dirtle.
Yep. Yeah. Dirtle, dirtle. So Pillow Fort Athreos?
Yeah. Yeah, right. I really had to retune Marquesa to get rid of the dirtle.
So you were playing with Queen Marquesa, and she
Queen Marquesa.
Okay. And she was still dirtly, even in Mardu colors?
Oh, yeah. Well, you got the Ghostly Prison, Norn's Annex, Sphere of Safety. You know, those usually show up in dirtly decks. Mm-hmm. Archangel of Tides and Windborn Muse.
Yeah.
Maybe Koskan Falls, No Mercy, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's really easy to get a dirtly position in Mardu colors if you want to.
Hmm.
But with the Monarch mechanic, I really want it to move around the table. As Josh and Jimmy would say, it increases the action.
If it moves around the table?
Yes, having the Monarch token in the game and letting it move around the table, that increases everyone else attacking everyone else.
Does it really know?
Yeah. It's a flimsy excuse to attack people, and
all right.
People use it.
And so then all you have to do is avoid becoming the Monarch again.
No, you can become the Monarch again. But if you're too dirtily, then you get the Monarch and you keep it for the rest of the game.
Oh, I see.
So I want to be hit, but I want to be hit for small amounts. We've gone way off of Circle of Despair. Anyway.
Sure we have.
Anyway.
What's our next card, Nate?
Card three. Blood Gift Demon.
Not a dirtly card, is it?
No. 3 black-black. Creature Demon. Flying 5/4. So for 5 mana for a flying 5/4, that's pretty standard for a vanilla demon.
Yeah.
He's got something else on him. At the beginning of your upkeep, target player, which is probably you, draws a card and loses one life. So it's got Phyrexian Arena, which is one black enchantment for free stapled onto him. So it's 8 mana worth of value. You see this card a lot in tuned black decks.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it's pretty good when you consider that you're paying 2 generic mana for a 5/4 flyer.
Yep.
And that targetable effect is offensive, isn't it?
Yeah, if somebody only has one life left, just boop. Hey, draw a card. Oh.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I think I've killed somebody with that. Yeah, either way, it's a lot of fun. And it's a very convenient way to get that Phyrexian Arena effect without actually having to play a Phyrexian Arena.
Yeah.
Which, incidentally, is now definitely not a Phyrexian card.
Even though it has the word Phyrexian in the name,
it's still
not Phyrexian.
Well, it represents the oppressed fighting against the Phyrexian oppressors. Yeah.
So it's an arena where they fight Phyrexians.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, I've always thought it was that. Only now we have proof with the most recent printing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Koth.
Thanks, Koth.
Card number 4. Plant Elemental. This is the first time my eyes are resting upon this card. Plant Elemental. For 1 and a green, you get a 3/4, presumably an elemental plant. When Plant Elemental comes into play from your hand, destroy one of your forests or destroy Plant Elemental.
Finding the Oracle text.
Well, it looks like my guess is that'll be a sacrifice. And so this isn't too bad in something like a Gitrog or Titania.
Enters the battlefield, sacrifice it unless you sacrifice a forest.
Yeah.
So yeah, Gitrog or Titania, they're looking for excuses to blow up their own lands.
Yep. And it is a plant elemental now, right?
It is a plant elemental. The card name is equivalent to the creature type.
That doesn't happen very often.
Nope.
So in the right deck, like Titania or Gitrog, this is pretty good.
It's a 3/4 chump blocker that does what the rest of your deck wants to do in that situation.
Yeah. Now, if it had reach, it would be perfect for that deck, wouldn't it?
Well, it's not a spider.
Yeah. And as we know, only spiders can reach.
And that's about all they do.
And the next card. That's a good one.
Card 5. Winged Quaddle. 1 green, blue. Creature snake. Kaseto, he's a 1/1 with flash and flying and death touch.
Wow.
Hey, I don't have any blockers. I just got this 3 mana and a card in hand.
Yeah.
You want to attack me with something really important that doesn't have first strike or indestructible? Because, I can't do anything about that.
Can't do anything.
Nope.
I'm wide open.
Bring it. You ain't got the stones.
Yeah, this is a surprise. It's sort of like Baleful Strix, right?
Yeah, it is a surprise card, though.
Yeah.
Baleful Strix, you put that out and you're like, hey, don't look over here.
I'm dirtling.
Don't fly over here.
Yeah, not too bad, this one. Have you seen it in play?
Nope.
It was in Commander 2013, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I haven't seen anyone actually play it.
Yeah. Maybe we should do an entirely Flash-themed deck.
That would be Rush Me Eternity's Crafter, right?
Yeah. So that would work with this.
Throwing snakes at people.
Hey, here's a snake. Yeah, Rush Me with maybe Talrand and, of course, a Winged Quaddle.
Meh.
Okay. Well, you know what, listeners? If you have Winged Quaddle experience outside of the pre-constructed decks, let us know. It kind of is surprising that we don't see that more often. It's a 3-mana removal spell.
Surprise!
Yeah, maybe that's the way to think of it, Nate.
Snake.
You put this in Azuri.
Yep, get a counter, an experience.
Yeah, and it's a 3-mana instant speed removal spell with some conditions. that's actually not too bad, if you think of it that way.
Yeah.
Because even Beast Within gives your opponent a creature. Oh, wait, are you getting the creature there? You're getting the creature.
No. What do you mean?
The owner of the permanent gets the creature? Who gets that in Beast Within?
The owner of the permanent.
Yeah.
So if they're attacking you with something you're trying to get rid of, then Beast Within gives them an ape.
Yeah, right. It's a trade. So, I don't know. This is in some ways better than Beast Within, in some ways worse. So, I don't know. Maybe you'll start seeing it in my decks if I ever play again. it won't fit into my the Commander 2016 League deck that I'm playing because, of course, I have the Thopter Queen.
Hmm.
Yep. Well, all right. Next card, Nate. You ready for this one?
Sure.
Card number 6, Treetop Village. Ooh, land. Treetop Village comes into play tapped. That makes me sad.
Yeah.
Tap to add green. And for 1 and a green, Treetop Village becomes a 3/3 green ape creature with trample until end of turn. It's still a land.
Hmm.
You know, we don't often get an opportunity to discuss our love of monkeys.
Yeah, there relatively aren't that many monkeys.
Yeah, not too many. We just got a cat monkey, which is handy, but the cat monkey is terrible.
Poor cat monkey.
Poor cat monkey, exactly. Has everything we like. Cats, monkeys. This one, as a land, again, this has utility in Titania, or Gitrog, or Angry Omnath, maybe? No, not Angry Omnath.
No.
So you put this into Titania or Gitrog and then activate it to block something. And
my land.
Or just activate it to throw something in there. And then if it dies, oh well, a land has gone to the graveyard.
Yay.
Poor monkeys.
They get the short end of the stick.
They sure do. All right. Hey.
Card 7. Seismic Strike. 2 and a red. Instant! Seismic Strike deals damage to target creature equal to the number of mountains you control.
Oh, hello.
Hmm.
Do you run this in Ashling?
If it said target player, I would. But it doesn't, so I don't.
Hmm, it doesn't. Yeah, true, because late game, that would be a nice 8 to 10 points of damage. Huh.
There's a Jaws of Stone is a comparable card that's 5 and a red sorcery, deals X damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures and or players, where X is the number of mountains you control.
Oh, that's good in Ashling.
Mmm, smash.
A different type of surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
But you can hit players with it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, different type of surprise from Ashling, right? Because at that point, Ashling is probably pretty expensive because she tends to be exploded quite often.
Hmm. She got 8 mountains.
Yeah.
And you got some damage doublers out by then.
I really need to make Ashling a more serious deck, don't I?
I don't know what you got now.
It's still Ashling and, what is it, 67 mountains, I think. Because I'm going to put Jaya and Chandra and forget some other card.
I don't like Jaya so much.
Yeah, well, you know, discard a card. And at that point, you're discarding mountains.
But I like my cards.
It is true. You like your cards.
Mm-hmm.
But you throw cards away strategically.
If I'm using the graveyard, sure.
Mm. Yeah, and Crucible of Worlds does not belong in Ashling.
Nah.
Nope.
But Flash Fires and maybe Boil.
Ooh!
They kind of do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's one thing. I was playing, my Ashling was a joke deck. You made an Ashling deck that was a lot more lethal. And after watching yours, I'm like, yeah, I really need all of those, you know, hate other types of land cards.
Get them out.
Yep. And I mean, you know, you can't really complain. So another person can't really complain about you being, you know, all mass land destruction-y because you're playing Ashling, the Pilgrim.
She blows up.
She blows up. That's all she does.
It's in character.
Yeah, Ruination. Mm-mm. And it's not our fault they're playing those other lands.
Mm-mm.
Nope. Are we ready for this next one?
Sure.
Wow. This is a great one. Card number 8. Cultivator's Caravan. Our first Kaladesh card. For 3 generic mana, you get an artifact vehicle. It's a 5/5 when it bothers to be a creature. And you can tap it to add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool, or you can crew it for 3. That's very useful.
Yeah, you usually pay 3 mana for a rock that'll tap for 1 mana of any color.
Right.
And this rock can turn into a 5/5.
Yep. So late game, when you don't need it to generate mana anymore, you can turn it into a creature. And we almost always have utility creatures that are just sort of hanging back and don't want to get into combat anyway.
Yep. Climb aboard, buddies.
Turns out they're good drivers.
They're all licensed and everything.
What is that, by the way, in the artwork? Is that
you like... steer, brain weevil.
Yep. Yep. I could delegate an elemental to drive this thing.
Sure.
Yep.
Is it flammable?
Nope.
All right.
It's got a robot horse and then some kind of body, which might be wooden, but let's pretend it's stone or something. And it has a minaret. It's a hell of a wagon. Yeah, so Marath, when Marath is kind of tired and, you know, a little low on energy. Oh, the irony is Marath can crew the Cultivator's Caravan. Yeah, but then it taps to attack, but then it could use it to rip a counter off. I like it.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
Card 9. Hinterland Hermit. One and a red for a creature human werewolf with 2/1. At the beginning of each upkeep, if no spells were cast last turn, transform. He tried to live far from those he could hurt. Transform into Hinterland Scourge. Creature werewolf. It's a 3/2, and it must be blocked if able.
Oh.
At the beginning of each upkeep, if a player casts 2 or more spells last turn, transform it back into the hermit.
Oh.
But the monster within was a tireless hunter. It can turn into a 3/2 that must be blocked.
Hoo-wee. Stay away from this guy.
Not a commander card.
I don't know, for 3/2... never mind.
Nope.
At least you control its transformation back into a... No, right. You don't even waste a Swords to Plowshare on this. You just keep turning it back into the old guy.
Yeah. Are you playing a werewolf tribal deck? Well, these are your options these days.
Yes. Our apologies, werewolf tribal players. But Nate, at least they have Ulrich.
Yeah.
Card number 10. Fettergeist. For 2 and a blue. You get a 3/4 flying spirit at the beginning of your upkeep. Oh.
The picture looked cool, didn't it?
Oh, it sure did. It's got those, like, chains coming out of it.
At least the picture's cool.
Oh. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice Fettergeist unless you pay 1 generic mana for each other creature you control. Wow.
Yeah. So if you plan to have just 1 creature on the board, I wouldn't pick this one.
Yeah, I have never seen this card before, and probably with good reason.
Yeah, it's probably good in if you're playing a different format.
Maybe. I wonder if A.E. Marling runs this in his Bant Spirits. Probably not, because this card sucks.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We've had two real bad cards in a row. What awaits us, Nate?
Card 11. Ornithopter.
Yay.
It costs 0.
Yep.
It's an artifact creature, Thopter. It's a 0/2 with flying. Regardless of the century, plane, or species, developing artificers never fail to invent the Ornithopter.
Hmm.
So there are decks that could use a zero casting cost artifact creature.
Yeah. Not a card you see every day, but I've seen it.
Yeah. Arkham Dagson could kill it.
Yep.
If you're one of those decks that play Ad Nauseam and Tendrils of Agony, then you probably got this in there.
True. I guess you play this when you need some kind of cheap artifact to sacrifice it, like we've been talking about. It doubles as an emergency blocker. Can block pretty much anything.
Yeah. Glissa could probably use it. Shatter Gang Brothers might find a use for it.
Yep, the ubiquitous Ornithopter. Because apparently all developing artificers invent the, yeah. A flying machine! Card 12?
Mm-hmm.
Card number 12, Sylvan Advocate. For one and a green, you get a 2/3 elf druid ally with vigilance, and as long as you control 6 or more lands, Sylvan Advocate and land creatures you control get +2/+2. So you could have a 4/5 elf for 2 mana.
Well, who's the commander for land creatures? I mean, Noyandar is in blue and white.
Yeah.
But who's in green? Is there a Nissa theme commander?
I'm racking my brain. I don't think so. I think this goes into the same kind of deck that maybe if you do, warrior lands, lands you can animate into creatures and attack, right? Plus you get all of the land. What was that? Awaken was the mechanic from BFZ and Oath. Well, no, BFZ. So, if you're playing an all-lands deck with lots of Wrath effects so that when you're casting the Wrath, your creatures aren't actually creatures, it lands. It's a niche deck, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe General Tazri because it's an ally. And Noyandar is also an ally, so General Tazri could throw them both in there for the odd chance of a combo.
I don't think General Tazri has room for the Sylvan Advocate.
No.
No, I don't think General Tazri wants people speaking for the woods.
Well, he could.
Would this be a wood lawyer?
Yes. No, he drinks that Dutch drink made of eggs.
Oh, yeah.
The alcoholic eggnog.
Advocat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's wasted right now.
If you are a Dutch listener, please write in and tell us all about Advocat and your adventures with this drink. Oh, when we're in GP Las Vegas, we need to bring some of that, don't we?
We could probably find it somewhere.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Jesus Christ almighty. Sorry, I just looked ahead.
Card 13.
Lucky 13.
Hunted Wampus.
Mm-hmm.
3 and a green for a 6/6 creature beast. When Hunted Wampus comes into play, each other player may put a creature card from his or her hand into play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that part.
How could that go wrong?
Maybe if you're Leovold or Nath and you know nobody's going to have cards and you want a vanilla 6/6. No.
Yeah, Nath is what came to mind. But still, I mean, you have better things to do with 4 mana, don't you? I mean, I realize you get a 6/6, but still.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't really put any vanilla creature
no
in my commander decks.
No. No, creatures have to do a lot more.
Yeah, kind of like this next card.
For example, card 14, Captain of the Watch. 4 and white for a 3/3 human soldier with vigilance. Other soldier creatures you control get +1/+1 and have vigilance.
Now you're talking.
Yep. And when Captain of the Watch enters the battlefield, put 3 1/1 white soldier creature tokens onto the battlefield.
She pulls an Elspeth.
Holy smokes. This is a... In a soldier deck, this is a really good card.
Mm-hmm.
The real qualifier there is, in a soldier deck.
Yeah. I'd put it in Odric because you're going to get vigilance and you're going to get, I think Odric's a soldier.
True.
And you get 3/1/1 white tokens in addition to this creature that probably by that time, since you're playing Odric, have flying, double strike, indestructible, and lifelink. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And in a deck that has Kathy's Crusade already casted on the battlefield,
you're going to get counters.
Wow, you get a lot of counters, too. Because every one of them gets 4 counters, so this is actually 6 mana for a 7/7 and 3/4/4s. No, 3/5/5s. With Vigilance. Oh, actually, and there's 6/6s. So you get 6 mana. 6 mana for a 7/7 with Vigilance and 3 6/6s with Vigilance. And all you need is a Cathar's Crusade out.
Yep. Both Odrics are soldiers. Tajik, Blade of the Legion, is a soldier.
Mm.
Mono White Kings are soldiers. Brimaz, King of Oreskos, and Darien, King of Kildor.
Yep. Hey, Shivam, let us know if you're playing Captain of the Watch in your Tajik deck.
He probably is.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
I remember this one because this is the one that my son Eric... It's the first card my son Eric saw in a store and went, I think I want that one. Because he has a 60-card white soldiers deck. Because when you're doing 60 cards, you can build a lot of redundancy in, and soldiers actually works pretty well there.
Mm-hmm. Especially 4 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I denied him. No, I think he ended up with that. All right. Hey, this next one's good.
Card 15. Stencia Masquerade.
Mm-hmm.
2 and a red. Enchantment. Attacking creatures you control have first strike. That's pretty good so far.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
There's more stuff on it, though.
Hmm.
Whenever a vampire you control deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on it.
Hmm.
So if you're playing a vampire tribal deck that has red in it, I would... play this card.
Now, who would play Vampire Tribal with red in it?
Olivia, perhaps?
Olivia.
Maybe some Yuleva decks? She's a vampire wizard. Nephalia's Scourge.
True.
Oh, this card also has Madness for 2 and a red.
Mm-hmm.
So if you discard this card, you can cast it at that time for the same cost it would normally be.
Good lord.
I think I talked about this card in our Shadows Over Innistrad set review.
Yes, you did, and I think you liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if I talked about it, then I liked it.
True. Because we only get 5 cards to talk about in each of our set reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one works on so many levels. I mean, just for the straight-up cost, it's fantastic. And for the madness cost, if you have rummaging or looting, you basically... don't pay the price for your looting slash rummaging.
Well, you do have to cast that spell at that time.
Yeah. But that's all right.
Yeah.
When you're casting this one anyway, you might as well activate your rummaging goblin or any of the various effects like that. Or any of the cards that say discard a card, right? Draw 3, discard 1.
I don't want to discard. I want to use it.
That's right.
Madness!
And granted, we don't get a lot of that, but there are now, 2.5 sets or so that have madness in it, so it's conceivable that we'll see madness pretty frequently in Commander. It just hasn't really caught on.
Nope.
Yep. I confess I haven't looked at it very much. Madness.
Nope.
You watch, Nate.
What am I looking for?
Someone like Dean or AZ or Jeremiah will come up with a madness deck.
And they'll say, this is terrible, and they'll play something else.
So what you're saying is you don't play this for the madness.
Nope.
What about if you're facing Nath? What if Nath is in your meta?
If you already have a vampire tribal deck, you're already playing this. If you don't have a vampire tribal deck, I don't think you're playing this. Unless you really need first strike.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe Marquesa, Queen Marquesa, since there's going to be a bunch of death touch on your side of the board, and giving it all first strike is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You could always play Conspiracy and turn all your creatures into vampires.
Yeah, Queen Marquesa could do a vampire tribal deck.
Ah, true. Do you run conspiracy in that?
No.
There's no need.
Nope.
Well, Nate, that's 15 cards, isn't it?
Yep.
How quickly it has gone by.
Mmm. It's gone in a flash.
It's gone.
Like Winged Quaddle.
You know, I'm going to put Winged Quaddle into my next blue-green deck.
If you're making Casado Snake Tribal, sure.
Or Kaideli.
You're not putting that in the Kaideli deck.
You never know, Nate. You never know.
You're not keeping it in there for long.
Are you going to build a Kaideli deck?
I'm thinking about who's going to pair up with Vial Smasher.
Ooh.
Who should I pair with Vial Smasher? And I have been looking at Yidris Maelstrom Wanderer since I did say I was going to take the one without white.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I said I was going to take the one without black, right? Oh, no, without blue.
Without blue.
Yeah.
So you get Saskia. Which is better than I thought it'd be, but Sean gets the Thopter Queen.
Yeah, Thopter Queen is the good one. I got that in my paper league.
All right.
Yeah, I'm happy about that. All right, well, shall we thank everybody for tuning in?
Thank you for tuning in.
If you want to support the podcast for all the good things we put in your ears, head on over to patreon.com/commander@mtg and just give us a buck a show. That goes a lot farther than you realize because we're able to offer a lot more prize support. We're able to do even more full-length songs like we just did for our Kaideli preview card.
Ooh.
Or just stop by and give us a 5-star review on iTunes because that's what a lot of folks look at. And if you want to hear some more fancy stuff from us, go on over there, give us a 5-star review, and we can point to that and say, hey, people like us.
Yeah, and you can also subscribe on YouTube and like all our videos.
Indeed. Yes, all of that helps. We can point to the subscribers and say, my goodness, we have a lot of subscribers.
All of them have audio and some of them have video.
Some of them are actually music videos now, aren't they?
Yeah, sort of.
So we love all of you. Thank you for listening to the show. Please come join us over in our Patreon community. And don't forget to playtest decks with us. And of course, go over to YouTube, subscribe there, watch all the way through to the end. The stats for people who listen all the way to the end matter a lot more than people who just click once and then tune out at, leaving the last 30 seconds unplayed. And of course, if you donate $10 or more per episode, you can come join us on the Patreon chat we host over on Facebook. Our theme song was created for the podcast by Mr. Nate Burgess.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And it's an awesome theme song. Everybody who hears it for the first time, first you can see it on their face. Like, and I've played this for a couple of people over the last couple of weeks. They're like, they frown. They're like, is that a banjo?
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of. That's always my answer. And then they end up laughing, especially when they get to the end. And when you had us do all the commander in, that was very fun. Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto, who can be found at mrpicto.co.uk with assistance from my wife, Kelly. Special thanks to the tech whizzes Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank and to Justin for his server space. You can reach us by going to our website, commanderandmtg.com. Hey, what's our email?
cast@commanderandmtg.com.
What if they want to find us on the social medias?
Search for Commander in MTG Podcast.
Does it matter if it's Twitter?
Nope.
Individually, on Twitter, he is at Mr. Plorg.
He's at Ketjack.
And Sean is at Copain26.
Mm-hmm. Send your hate mail there.
That's right. All your hate tweets. Everything that's wrong with the show, with any complaints you have about your health, even maybe about a significant other or a pet, send it to @copain26.
That's what I do.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
And that's our show.
My son's toys decided to come to life. Like we were talking. Like my equipment decided to be summoned. Yes.